Hello and welcome back to The Dive, season 8, episode number 3. We are fresh off the LCS games. Medios just drove over after his co-stream. Everything's still bouncing around. And we decided that, first things first, since we're fresh off games, what you always do after the game just ended, report and honor people. So we're going to bring back our reports and honors. Do you have any in mind from today's games even? Any of the games from the weekend are fine.
I've got a report and an honor.
Okay.
I'll start with the report. I thought Vulcan was kind of trolling in the Cloud9 game. Honestly, a lot of Cloud9 members maybe deserve to get reported after this one, maybe the whole squad. But the dive bot, you know, it just seemed like there was so many things went wrong, but like Blabber goes forward. He puts the bailout on Blabber. Blabber walks out, so that one's his fault too, but then dies after the bailout expires. Doesn't have the bailout for a Berserker. Uh-huh. Then they have that base defense when they're up by their tier 3 or whatever in bot lane, where he gets Glista ulted and just like throws himself back in with no abilities up and just dies. Then they follow that up by him just walking in a melee range of the Sion at the Baron pit and just dying without using a summoner ability or item active. So I thought Vulcan had a bit of a rough one. And I would say for my honor, B-Voy was playing really well on the other side. I thought B-Voy, actually even yesterday, I thought he was playing well yesterday as well in kind of a hard game. And it was a losing game, but I was trying to watch him a lot just to see how he would look.
Yeah.
I was really impressed.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be in the hot seat because I was, you know, I like Turtle and Turtle also had an impressive couple games. But he definitely had a standout one. I'm just going to, let's do all the reports. We'll get your report now also because, you know, in a game, and I was going to report all of Cloud9. In a game, usually if someone's getting reported, you're getting reported by everybody on the team. You know? So, I mean, this is a normal experience. I was going to report the whole team because not only for the bottom lane play, but then I also felt like it felt so troll to have. It just felt like the whole team got mind controlled when they saw the first three picks and they're like, oh my God, their team's got all these tanks. They're going to be so tanky. And so everybody on the team's like, don't worry, I'll kill the tanks. And then we got, you know, Vayne pick, and then we got Maokai building, Liandry's all AP going into the Riftmaker also.
What was the Riftmaker, by the way? That was ass. There's no way that Riftmaker is right at all.
So Liandry's
is good.
Liandry's is
also, but there's like 8 other items you could build before Riftmaker.
I know where the mind control came from. So Liandry's and Riftmaker is super OP together.
Both are masks.
They have,
and he had one. He wanted a second. I can see, yeah.
They have the favorable interaction with procking each other and having the ramping damage. But yeah that's
AP
part
Malka
of it.
Gets crazy value from that spell vamp. When he's in there, he's just tanking up the whole team.
It's the damage amp. It's part of my report because you have possible frontline on your team, but the Aatrox is full lethality and the Maokai is a full AP. And so they are like, all right, man, we got all this Vayne and this Liandry's percentage HP damage and all this stuff. And they're like, well, they could still just all run at us and steamroll us. Obviously, the play of the bottom lane play was probably bigger, though.
I have to imagine what we saw today was Cloud9 wanting to defuse
what
the
saw today.
What was witnessed today?
It.
Yeah, I have to imagine
the incident on the rift
C9
today,
wanting to defuse the pressure from being undefeated. Yeah, right? You know, like the longer you stay undefeated, the more it gets in your head. They're saying, "I'm locking in Vayne mid. I'm taking it out of the way really quick because." Like, I don't know. It's weird because obviously JoJo played fine that game, but he did pick Vayne mid, which I think is pretty reportable in and of itself.
Unless you're Caps or even if you are Caps.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Vayne's a real champion. I don't think she has been in quite some time. So I don't know about that one. I didn't love it.
I was down with the Vayne as the counter to having all the tanks, but then they had, like I said, I felt like everybody was like, I'm also going to counter all the tanks.
Well, lethality Aatrox as well. They had behind.
I think I was going to report someone on C9, but you guys stole that from me.
I mean,
so I've got another report.
Okay.
I think Busio deserves a couple reports for that game because...
giving him the first blood.
Okay, so that FlyQuest game was some of the saddest jungle gameplay I've ever seen, and I can't even blame Inspired for it too much because, like, most of the things he was doing that game were kind of forced plays, right? It's like either you show up here or the game's over kind of deal, which sucks to be in the situation. But, you know, he did a level 2 gank on Sedge and it would have been good. And then Busio just randomly died to Kalista. And then he
level
went,
1 Kalista that can only rend you.
Right. And then he went mid instead of bot from base. So he's underleveled. And then, you know, they got that huge wave stacked on them, and Inspired had to cover it again. And I don't know. I think that entire game kind of snowballed out of control from the early game.
Yeah, I agreed. That's I was saying during cast. I was saying during cast, too. I was like, oh, my God, I feel so bad because you have to go cover that dive or else they're turbo screwed. And in order to go do that, you know, and you're playing against Ivern, too. One of the ones that easiest to punish that stuff. You know, you're giving everything up. And that was quite the snowball of a game. Energy definitely ran away. They were laughing the whole game. That was actually my favorite part, because fans always latch onto the teams like the original Cloud9, where you're winning and you're having fun and laughing and memeing while you're doing it. So it really does feel like you at home even could be like in this group of like friends that are super good at League and just memeing while they're smashing people.
Well, and it was, I think, extra shoot for them because Jensen obviously was on the Pros podcast last week and was like, well, Energy winning the championship was a fluke. They're never going to do that again. And you could tell that all of Energy took exception to it because post-game interview, Contracts goes, well, I guess today was a fluke too. Then immediately, Palafox tweets out, Jensen usually saves those performances for scrims. Then Dougla tweets out, fluked our way to a 2-0 week. Blessed to have such luck. And like, you know, they like all, so they're good. All just like twisting the knife. So it's just so funny. You can tell it kind of like got them a little bit fired up.
I love it. And I really appreciate that Jensen, you know, stepped out and started it with the flame because now we get the reward. You know, clapbacks are super funny.
He doesn't get the reward, but
he doesn't get the reward. But I'm so glad that he did it because it makes people more, you know, bought into the game and everybody's got something riding along. And then we get all this, you know, furthered storyline. So I really like both parts. Plus, it's funny that it was Jensen. Palafox has always, you know, remember when he was first starting and his big interview about, man, these overrated big names in the LCS, you know, teams are not giving the younger players chances, and especially North American mid laners. And it was specifically before his game versus Jensen, where he was like, these nameplates don't matter. You know, I'm a clap him type of thing. And so I feel like we do have maybe a one-sided, but a little bit of a budding rivalry there. That'll be a fun one to follow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down for any drama, you know, like whatever.
Even
you know,
manufactured, let's just make something up.
It works out or it doesn't. Like, I don't think Jensen's losing any sleep over it. Like, it sets up a good comeback story. So yeah, it's good. Good. I need more of that.
Yeah.
All right. Who you got for your honors?
For my honor, I wanted to honor. I can decide between all of Shopify or just Insanity. I think all of Shopify, because it really takes a whole team to buy into, you know, having faith in, you know, letting people pick what they want to pick, and then you have to like play around it in kind of a different way. But I was a little bit scared when we were like, oh, we're gonna plan the live patch. You know, will people actually cook? Will they still just play what's safe and meta and you know, copy Korea and that type of thing? But players like Insanity, players like Bwipo also, are really experimenting and cooking and getting the team on board to kind of play around those strategies. So I am very happy that we do have exciting drafts in the LCS because that's going to be another big draw.
Yeah, I think I would give my honor to Insanity. A little biased because, you know, we're friends. I like him. But I would give him the stay cool honor because he picked Sion mid. You know, like their team's down bad. It's one thing to play like a supportive style pick for a team when you're winning, but I think when you're on a losing team, being like, "Yeah, I'll play Sion mid here," it's like you really got to drop your ego for that one. Right. And you know, he had to play against Vayne, which I don't think is fun. I can't imagine that's a fun matchup. Yeah, and you know he did what he needed to do, and they got the win. So yeah. I'll give him that little honor,
nice
consolation prize,
respect. And he also two of his four picks, so he has four unique picks in four games, and two of his four picks, he's the only mid laner to play them with the Zac and the Sion. It was the first time we'd ever seen a mid Vayne in the LCS, and only the second time we'd ever seen a mid Sion in the LCS, and both in the same game against each other. So kind of interesting that it was like we're actually getting some pretty cool stuff that people are experimenting with. Shopify obviously got their first win. Immortals got their first win. FlyQuest and C9 got their first loss. So no one is undefeated. No one is winless at this point. We also have Smolder on the horizon. He's not going to be LCS eligible because that is actually a global rule. So it supersedes the LCS rule, but it's 2 weeks after they come out that he can't be played for in competitive. So even though we're on live patch, we're not going to be allowed to actually have him out for a little bit. But you know, you were saying you had looked at him a little bit, Kobe.
Yeah, I definitely took a look at the skill set here, and the first thing that you see is the passive, and I just kind of facepalmed because it's another infinitely stacking passive for the dragon champ. I guess it's a dragon theme. Aurelion Sol has his infinite stacking, Smolder as well. You know, and it's a kind of a similar way too. It's when you hit abilities on champions or when you execute things, and he also stacks similar things that are super annoying to me, which is percentage HP damage and an execute. And the execute threshold actually just keeps going up and up. But of course, you know, games are not infinite, so that doesn't end up, you know, truly being super crazy. But it does seem like it's going to be another very similar one. This champion has lots of AoE in the kit. It doesn't have hard CC, but it does have a slow. And then, so I think he's just going to be one of those big bombs for AoE teamfight comps. It depends on how weak the lane phase is going to be, how good this champ is going to be, but it does have really good defensive and it's like flapping thing.
You can fly over walls.
Both of you guys have played Dragonflight WoW, I know for sure. And so it reminded me of so many WoW things. I just kept going through my head, you know, it's like the...
Yeah, we didn't get a WoW episode reference in the last episode.
Yeah, so we got good.
But need one per.
Yeah, the invoker's like when he gets up and starts flapping around. But Smolder can like go through walls and over territory when he's up and flapping. And then the big ultimate when he calls his mom also reminded me of a Frost DK and just calling in the Frostworm. It's like very similar thing. Giant AoE damage. There's no stun on this one.
These ability names are so troll, by the way.
I know.
The ulti is mom, and then it's Achu.
Yeah.
It's Dragon Practice, Super Scorcher Breath.
They were not thinking of the casters when they made these names.
And Flap, Flap, Flap.
Yeah.
Smolder pops the Flap, Flap, Flap. He's looking for the mom. There's the Achu. And he's going to get him with the Super Scorcher.
He's looking for the mom.
That's a good one. Did you guys see he's going to have some like rivalry passive thing with Aesol?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't remember where I saw it. It was on Twitter or something, but it's going to be one of those quest things.
Yeah. Wasn't that, there's one, it's like Jax Belveth that's like actually kind of strong for Belveth, I think.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
God, what is it? I can't remember right now, but I remember thinking that that one was actually impactful. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, they added a couple, and they do seem like they're actually gonna have like increasing power to me though. I mean, it always felt cool, the Rengar Kha'Zix one, like to get your last evolution, you know, or something too. Like I feel like that one is decent. It's just so late in the game that it ever procced that it rarely ever mattered because it was like a win more.
You can actually play AD Thresh if you are against Senna and Lucian and you kill both of them for your quest. Like he gets crazy stats. He gets like range, crit, like it's nuts.
Oh, so the Belveth one is if you kill Baron with Belveth, then I guess it's like killing Jax drops the Void Coral that gives you your true form, like gives you like the Void Monster form from killing Jax.
Really?
Yeah. So that one is like pretty niche, but could be potentially impactful, right? Because it does give you that kind of.
Yeah,
like
I hate that matchup.
Super
playing,
empowered.
Playing Belveth into Jax feels so bad.
Yeah, I was like, if you're going to kill him, you deserve a good reward. I felt that's good.
Wait, so Smolder's an AD carry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't really looked into the kit too much. I just saw the teaser video. Well,
he's got like a line damage. He's got a big AoE one that slows. And then he has the flap, flap thing where you're getting up like one of the Dragon Evoker people and you just kind of flap around and it's. Fire streams out of your mouth.
Oh, cool.
So you don't target it, but it prioritizes champions and it prioritizes low health champions too. But you can go over terrain and
like you can move while you're flying
stuff.
Around.
Yeah.
Oh.
Are you someone who actually just like tries every new champion in jungle, or you just like only wait for the ones that are clearly a jungler?
I mean, it kind of depends. If I think there's some kind of promise, I might mess around. But like, I don't.
Flap, flap, flap. Sounding pretty nice.
I don't go out of my way to like troll it. You know, I'm not gonna spam.
The trolling is accidental.
Games.
He's not intentional trolling.
I don't know.
The drunk brand game is famous.
Dude, the brand day was yesterday. It was 127.
Yeah, I saw.
Someone said that in my chat. It was pretty good. Yeah, it's really case by case. I don't know. Sometimes I have no interest in new champs. Sometimes I get really into them. So I don't know how I feel about Smolder yet.
One I actually got on recently was Jungle Yone, because in a Masters Plus game, I played against a Jungle Yone, and his first clear was pretty quick. And I went back and looked at it, and I was like, that's all I need to see. If his first clear is doable.
Wait, do you remember the guy's name?
I don't remember what the name was. Okay, did you play against the same guy?
I mean, I've played against a guy who's
spamming it. So I think there's probably only one.
There's some guy, his name's like Monk Mental something.
Yeah, it had something to do with mental.
Okay, yeah, maybe the same guy.
It's probably the same guy, yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I don't know.
I haven't played the Yone jungle, but I was like, after I saw him do it, I was like, I'm definitely going to try that. Yone is broken as hell.
Hold my beer.
How'd it go for you?
I haven't tried it yet. I haven't tried it yet. Okay, but that's on my list.
It's just on the list. Yeah. It's on the list. You're branching out from Volibear, so.
Yeah, I mean, I already had to start because, like I said, I feel like Volibear, like, they don't like him. He's been shunned. So I started already incorporating the higher win rates, mm-hmm. Ivern and stuff.
All right, well, we're on new patch. This is the first ever week of live patch for LCS. We were obviously on the same patch as ever last week. We're on 14.2. It's the first league, anytime any league in the world has actually been on live patch, which is pretty cool. And we did get to see some pretty interesting new picks. Was there anything that really kind of stood out as like, I was kind of disappointed that this didn't go in, or happy that it did go in?
Yeah, the perfect answer to that is you're saying one that should have been used. Well, one that got picked that I felt like we didn't get to even test was the Darius. I was so happy because I was like, Bwipo, this is... Darius got direct buff on this patch, and he's picking it into a tank matchup where the armor penetration is actually meaningful. You know, the sustain is actually going to be meaningful. And then that was the bottom lane snowball circus game where it did not matter.
He absolutely reported his bottom lane that game. Yeah. Like, what do you think they said to him after the game? Like, ugh, Darius not good here. He just looks at him. Just, yeah, that was my champ's fault.
Nice counter pick.
I was really disappointed we didn't see TF. I feel like TF is so crazy right now after seeing him in live games. He was banned, I think, at least a couple games.
Beginning.
Yeah, and I was really expecting to see him when he wasn't banned, but nope. No TF, maybe next week. I think that is being slept on hard.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to a few people about it because like we kind of had this discussion on, you know, it's obviously ADTF is really strong, but how would you play out the team fights and would people be willing to do that? And a couple of the teams and pros that I asked kind of had the same hesitations. Like they weren't sure, like, oh, could they play it out in 5v5 and stuff? Because you kind of have to play front to back. Mm-hmm. But some people were also telling me they think it's just like so OP that it shouldn't actually matter that it's worse in team fights because you should just be so far ahead from the early game and the mid game that you should just win.
And
so,
the splitting is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, the split push is absolutely, you insta-kill towers, especially if you have grubs, it is crazy. With stack deck working on it, the blue cards have AD ratios on them now as well. The towers get one shot, yeah.
Yeah, I've been seeing Trinity Force first item TF, which looks really good. And then into like, you know, the on-hit stuff like Storm Racer, Rapid Fire. I don't know what the best build's gonna be, but some combination of those items I think is pretty nutty.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen this. People are doing a lot of different stuff because I've seen people try like even like Rageblade Kraken and like full on hit. I feel like that's worse than the
I
don't think you get to like auto actually enough.
You don't have the range to actually support that.
Exactly. I think it's much better to do stuff with like Triforce is just slotting in for Lich Bane and then you're going like Storm Razor instead of something else. Right. It's just like you're just going for those energized like quick hits.
And there have been some still just going the AP build like I was talking about and still getting like you get tiny bits of the benefits. Yeah. In it as well. So like if they didn't want to fully commit to an AP style and they felt like that was more difficult, that's still always an option.
Obviously the AD then comes in so late if you're just doing it for only rapid fire though, because you're not like, so it's pretty small buff then.
The auto attack reset is still super nice on your thing. You also benefit because they changed the base attack speed. Also get the damage on the turrets.
Yep True, your passive ward does work on turrets. So something that I was kind of surprised about a little bit, I guess, was just like that we didn't see any Karma mid. I mean, it mostly got banned, but the one game it did come out, it came out in support. Obviously, it still won that game, but It's kind of, I'm going to be interested to see if people just feel like it has to actually be permabanned or if it actually can come out. Because when I was talking to some people previous to the weekend, a number of people were saying they don't actually think it's that strong. They think it's like maybe like a little bit of a bait pick because it's harder to build comps around it and that kind of thing, which was kind of interesting. So then after some of those talks, I was like, oh, okay. You know, if the pros aren't thinking it's that OP, it's actually going to get through. And then I kind of wanted to see how it would do, but we didn't see a single solo lane karma game.
It's got to be good. I don't know. I think typically when karma mid is good, it's with some sort of
carry jungle. Carry,
yeah, Olaf, exactly.
Kindred, et cetera.
Yeah, I think Xin Zhao with karma. Like Xin Zhao with Enchanter is actually, it goes so crazy. So I think that would be a really good combo, you know, like karma Xin, or you could do Nocturne, probably even Vi to some extent. So yeah, I think we'll likely see it. I mean, unless it's just so good bot, which is why they're putting it there, you know, just like forcing Pryo or whatnot.
Mm. Yeah, it was Busio that played it, right? And he even did, I want to say it was Busio, and he even did 5 points Q and then did Horizon Focus, which was like pretty surprising to me. I thought it, because E got buffed as well, I thought it was going to be more like standard support karma build, but.
I was actually talking to Doubleth about this, and he was talking about a conversation, like, you know, argument, if you will, with Busio about, you know, how to use Karma's Mantra in team fights. And, you know, me, Sneaky Doubleth, were all kind of on the same page of like, Karma is picked to Mantra your E in team fights exclusively. But Busio apparently is a huge fan of like Mantra Q. You know, using the rationale that you get more in team fights because you're hitting more people, so it resets the cooldown. But I don't know. I'm not really a believer in that. I think it's kind of troll, but, you know.
I mean, Mantra E has been so good for so long. I feel like that's just ingrained in a lot of, especially non-support players' brains. I'm like, that's what I'm getting out of that of being on my team. So I can definitely see that.
Unless you have infinite AP and you can legit, like, one hit a carry. You know what I mean? Like, if you can put a carry out of a fight, if you're like a three item death cap mid lane karma or something, like the RQ does a lot of damage now. It's actually crazy with like Malignant's death cap plus one. But especially for support, I don't think it really makes sense because it's usually not going to do enough damage that I feel like it's going to be that impactful. And like RE is always so much value.
Yeah, like it does lower the cooldown on Mantra if you hit it. But like for what, another Mantra Q? Like, no, I just use Mantra on the E. It's all good.
I do think it's a really good point though as far as it working the best with carry junglers, because we have a lot of really good junglers in the LCS. In fact, so many that beforehand we were talking about ranking LCS junglers, and it's really difficult, especially the top four, getting the order down. So we're going to do a lightning round.
I think the order is hard almost all the way to the bottom.
We're going to do a lightning round of ranking the LCS junglers. We'll go 1, 2, 3, and everyone shout. Just maybe not shout.
You don't have to shout it.
Say the name.
Scream at the top of your lungs.
Say the name of first place, and then we'll go 1, 2, 3, and we'll do the next one all the way down, all 8 LCS junglers. Okay.
All right.
Get your list.
I'm ready.
Got my list.
At your ready.
All right. Count us in, Kobe.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Blabber.
Oh, I had a
feeling. Keep going.
3, 2, 1.
River.
Tracks. Oops. I didn't want to talk during other people talking. It's like ingrained.
That's the whole point.
That's crazy. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Contracts.
Wait, was that two or three?
It's fired.
You have to keep going.
We're on five.
3, 2, 1.
OT.
3, 2, 1.
XU.
3, 2, 1.
Romeo.
3, 2, 1.
Romeo. This might have been the worst idea ever.
Yeah,
because for
that.
A podcast, I feel like no one can understand this.
Yeah,
this is a horrible
idea. I don't think that's a good idea.
But we can. So basically, top to bottom. Yeah, that was the worst idea ever for a podcast. Top to bottom, I had Blabber, River, Contracts, Inspired, Umti, XU, Boogie, and our Mayo. Who'd you have, Kobe?
So it sounded like we actually did have very similar ones.
Everyone agreed on top Blabber to bottom. And XU, I think.
But people were in similar places within a spot or two
for basically everything.
Because you would hear the next name kind of repeated like a slot down or something if it wasn't exactly the same.
Yeah.
And yeah, so mine are Blabber, Contracts, River, Inspired, Umti, Boogie, XU, Armeo.
I had Blabber, Contracts, Inspired, River, Umti, Boogie, Armeo, XU.
So yeah. I'm a little bit surprised they have XU at the bottom. I actually thought XU has performed a lot better than I expected. In the split, like I feel like he's had some pretty good games. Even today in the Vi game, I thought he had some pretty decent stuff. He has had some bad games, but the Vi game he won, he played really well as well. I feel like he's been pretty proactive, and especially for someone who's kind of like newer to the LCS stage, I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because in any list like this, there's going to be a last place. Even that doesn't mean they're bad by any means. I've been pretty impressed with XU. but it's just when compared to everyone else,
he's a top eight LCS jungler.
He's definitely the least experienced, which I think is probably the biggest reason for me putting him at the bottom, is because, you know, I haven't seen enough of him. And he has had some, you know, good plays. He's also had some kind of like growing pains. Like there was a play today that I was like pretty stunlocked by when like their team like kind of won a fight, and then they were backing off, and then he just kind of like flashed in 1v2.
Like he flashed where he tried to one.
So yeah, and he didn't have ult, and then he just kind of died. That sort of thing. I don't know. I don't think that's a great play. And it was just like a weird play to go for. Anytime I see desperate looking plays while ahead, I'm kind of like, ooh, that's not a good look for the team, because, you know, it seems like a team that's not used to winning games. And so they're always playing from behind, where they feel like they have to get creative with what they're doing and they can't just do the normal thing. So for that reason, I put him down there. But again, it doesn't mean he's bad. I think, you know, he's looked pretty decent.
Yeah, I mean, like you're saying, it's so hard because I feel like jungle is the strongest role in the LCS. Like the jungle role is super stacked. So honestly, top to bottom, it was pretty hard slotting them in. I think it would have been easier if we actually did tiers. And so you got to group a bunch of people in S tier, A tier, B tier type of thing. But doing a straight 1 to 8, yeah, it's definitely difficult.
Yeah, I don't think I would have put anyone below, you know, C tier, B tier, whatever. Like, I think everyone's fairly close. Maybe Blabber is at the top by a bit. But yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, there's pretty good junglers all around.
Who's been the biggest surprise for you then, like positive or negative for the split?
Biggest surprise
from jungle, just kind of like preseason expectations to now. I mean, for me, I can start if you want to think for a second. But I mean, for me, it probably would be XE, because I thought he was going to be like hard last. I thought he wasn't going to be able to compete really at all. I do think he's definitely had some growing pains, as you say, like some oopsies, where he is going for those big plays, like the Vi game. I think it was, you know, he had the Sundered Sky and he's trying to, you know, trying to go big. But obviously that didn't work out at all. But I do think he's had some really good ones. And just, yeah, he's just generally been a lot more competitive. Like I was kind of, especially from talking to people in scrims and everything, a lot of people were kind of giving me the impression that he was just going to get run over every single game. And like that has not been the case at all. And I think especially when you're taking consideration how strong the jungle players are in the league, the fact that he's competing, I think, is like pretty impressive.
That's totally fair. I think, I don't know if any of them are too surprising for me, because like I didn't really think any of them would be bad, and they've all done pretty well. But maybe River. Because, you know, there's a lot of praise for River from players, you know, pros. And, you know, he looked good on Golden Guardians. But I think the fact that he's coming in 100 Thieves, which is another team that, you know, most people don't have in, like, the top half of their standings, I think there's not a lot of expectations for them. But he's still been managing to play really well on multiple teams now that weren't really viewed as top teams. So I think any time a player can shine, especially in the jungle role where it's so, you know, team reliant as far as, you know, being able to work with them, that's super impressive to me. So definitely impressed.
He did it on Dig as well, like when he first came into the league, right? Like Dig was horrible, and the only time they ever won games was when he got like 50 early kills on Jarvan.
I feel like every team that River has been on, and there's been something like tragic that has happened to the team, and then the next team that gets him is like, yes, we got this gold nugget and we're like saving him. Everyone has felt like they're finding this super valuable pickup. We are also going to have a super week coming up next week though. So if we start looking ahead to next week, there's a lot of movement that could be had, especially for some of these teams that are currently at the bottom, because we're going to get three games, of course. Like we used to. And one of the super hype matchups, it's going to be another FlyQuest matchup. This week, it was the FlyQuest versus Energy matchup that was super hype because of the trash talk. But next week, they're playing versus Cloud9. And Jensen also, on the same podcast when he was on there with Jat, was talking about he was super confident, of course, in FlyQuest and only gave Cloud9 like 5 to 10% chance to win the whole split. Which, of course, you know, he's just being confident in his team and trying to inspire people to be more aggressive. But Cloud9 and FlyQuest have so much history. If you remember back, FlyQuest, when they bought into the league, they bought the Cloud9 Challenger spot. And Hai, who is now back being a team manager for Cloud9, was the mid laner for FlyQuest. And Jensen, who was the mid laner for Cloud9, is now the mid laner for FlyQuest.
It was the C9 Civil War era. Like all the promos were hitting that hard. And yeah, it is funny to think back to that era, right? Where, yeah, it's like Jensen was on Cloud Nine, Hai was on FlyQuest. That was kind of like the changing of the guard year, I guess, where it was like, oh, a lot of the last players. I guess Sneaky was the last survivor for a long time, right? Of like of your guys' kind of initial yep. roster. Sneaky stayed for a couple of years more than everyone else. But that when Hai, that was like an era when Hai was bouncing around in different roles too. He played jungle for a little bit, and he played support for a little bit too, if I recall correctly, right?
Yeah.
So he played a few different roles, then went back to mid lane with FlyQuest. But yeah, they have a lot of history now at this point, and it is kind of interesting to see where the teams have developed. It's not going to be the like 4-0 double undefeated team as people were kind of like, might be happening, because they were both looking pretty good. But both of them took some pretty fat L's today.
I feel like they both tripped.
I feel like if we had this episode before the games today, it would be a lot different, because I mean, I don't know, I still think Cloud9 is quite a bit better than every other team, obviously.
How's Jensen Sion looking?
Maybe, I don't know. He needs to practice the Vayne matchup some, because I still think they're really good. Obviously, you know, disasters can happen, but it's kind of whatever. But it will be a pretty good test for them next week. I think they have Immortals, FlyQuest, and Liquid, who, you know, Liquid and FlyQuest, people are definitely like having conversations of them all being near the top. So should be some pretty good competition, and then they can, you know, show how ahead of the other teams they are, or if they're not.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be exciting. I mean, yeah, like everyone I think is willing to give like Cloud9 a pass on, like, okay, you kind of trolled the game, the dive bot, whatever, it went bad, who cares? But it's always one of those things where then if you have another bad game that you follow it up with, like if they lose to FlyQuest, then people are like, oh, are Cloud9 frauds? You know, like the discussion changes fast.
Yeah, I mean, that was EG last split or last spring? I don't know. There was when they started 9-2, and then they started.
Yeah.
Every time they lost,
with our male roster.
It was like a really, really dramatic loss. Like they just got stomped real hard, and then people would brush off and be like, okay, you know, that's fine. They win hard, lose hard. And they just kept losing hard. And it's like, hold up.
That's when everyone figured out we just got to camp JoJo, and every single team.
Yeah, top lane's going mid, bot lane's going mid, jungle's going mid.
Yeah, that was definitely a fun one. It's going to be a really interesting week. I also feel like Team Liquid should be playing better than they're playing as well. I feel like there's so many teams right now that could make some pretty big moves in Super Week if this week of practice is good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's been pretty competitive, right? Like we are only 2 weeks in, but no one is winless. No one is undefeated. You know, a lot of the teams are really kind of like echoing this thing of like, anyone can beat anyone. I was even talking to Spawn and Jan. We were talking to them a little bit before this while they were recording something else. You know, they were feeling pretty confident that like Cloud9 is beatable as well. Like no one is unbeatable. You know, really did kind of like lump in Cloud9 even in the group. Like a lot of the other teams I was talking to were like, okay, well, it's Cloud9, but then everyone else is really beatable. But TL even had it as like, hey, everyone is actually beatable. The league is pretty flat. They were really complimentary of a lot of the teams that actually aren't considered top teams. They're even saying, you know, Immortals is really good in scrims, and these guys are good in scrims, and those guys, you know, like, so like people feel like anyone is beatable. And anyone can win. And I think it makes it pretty exciting. I mean, you did kind of see some of that this week where it's like Shopify is 0-3, but then they get their first win against Cloud9, right? And I saw Fake God right after it. And he was saying they just like felt really confident today. And he knew that they'd been way better than that in scrims. And they like knew they can compete against these teams. But they, you know, he's like, you go from like the ultimate despair of losing yesterday to Immortals to like the ultimate, you know, like elation of like, it's like you lose the worst team and you beat the best team. So it's just like a lot about, you know, who's going to show up on the day and who's going to be able to actually translate their practice onto stage.
Yeah. The Shopify one was the one when they were 0-3 where I was like, this one for sure does not belong here. But even the Cloud9 one, I talked to Mythy before the Cloud9 game, and he was saying, their scrim record, I don't know how you guys been here. We're doing so well in scrims, because he felt like their scrims were, you know, 50-50, or he said they were learning a lot from their scrims.
That means losing.
That means losing a lot too. So, which can be a, you know, a good opportunity, especially if we saw some stuff like we saw today on stage.
Yeah, it is still really early in the standings. I feel like almost every split, especially in spring, like early standings don't mean a whole lot because, you know,
strength of schedule matters a lot for that.
Yeah, exactly right. So I think also, you know, it's easy to cope if you're not doing well being like, we haven't even played everyone, man. They just have better schedules than us. I think this Super Week is going to be pretty big for momentum for all the teams because...
That's the halfway mark.
Yeah, it's a halfway mark. You've played every team at that point. If you are like one in... What would it be? One in five?
Six.
One in six. Yeah, that wouldn't be great. That'd be hard to come back from. And that's when, like, you know, the cracks start to form in the teams. Maybe the issues start piling up and we'll see what teams are made out of.
A lot of teams too have this view of, especially like the beginning of the season, they're like not too worried about actual score, and it's more about where you end up because top six teams are going to make playoffs. And so it's about how much can you learn, how much can you grow as a team, how much can you figure out what your style is going to be, or the systems that you want to use, for instance, to be able to adapt continually to new patches that are going to come through. You know, Mithy was talking about they wanted to have a system where it was like 2 days of giving the team the week of the new patch to be able to try stuff. And then next 2 days focusing down on what we're actually going to use, eliminating a lot of this extra stuff. Like, we don't want to waste time anymore, basically. So you have like a closing in and a kind of focusing period before the games start.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a balance, right? You know, you have to make sure you're winning enough games that you're going to get into playoffs and be in a decent spot and hopefully not draw a really hard matchup for round one.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you focus only on getting wins right now, you're not really going to be like trying out new things, developing new strategies and stuff. And that can be, you know, to your detriment come playoffs, because if you become a really one-dimensional team, even if you pick up some wins in the regular season, it's so easy with like a full week of prep only for one specific team to be able to target out, you know, certain strategies if all you can really play is one style. So I think that's kind of the balancing act, right? You know, it's like, speaking again of TL, just because we were chatting with Spawn, you know, we talked about it last week. It's like, okay, they experimented in game one, and then in game two, they went like, okay, we're going to go scaling 5v5, and they won. And then kind of the same thing happened this week again, right?
Yeah. I was definitely thinking about Liquid when you were talking about that, because I think there's, you know, obviously pretty wide spectrum of how you can approach these live patches. You can either go full science, just like, pick whatever. If something seems like it could be good,
that sounds so much better than like
just mad scientist mode. You just see if something seems like it could be good, just whatever, send it. If it works, it works. If not, oh well. Like, it doesn't matter.
Science. It was for science.
Yeah, well, like, we didn't lose, that champ just sucked. But then you have the other side, which I think Liquid is kind of doing right now, which, you know, I don't think it's horrible, but it does seem very safe. They're picking these, you know, double marksman, double tank comps, which I think it's not horrible to, you know, if you're a new team, work on the fundamentals, build from there. But it probably would be good to play other stuff as well, like other styles, maybe more aggressive stuff, push the envelope a little bit. So I would like to see Liquid get a little bit more like aggressive in the way that they draft and play.
I think it also always depends on the players that you specifically have in the moment and what kind of the morale or mental state of the team is. Because I know for sure at international events, so many times coaches have come to me and been like, well, we just decided we're going to start scrimming, you know, whatever challenger team right beforehand so we can get a win, and people are going to be happy. So if you're experimenting, if you're going so much hard on the experimenting that you're losing a lot of games, sometimes maybe if you just want to lock it down and like get some LCS wins going, maybe get the morale high, it might be something managing those types of expectations. There's so many things that you have to balance when you're kind of making these decisions, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. How have you guys been feeling about, we've obviously talked about Cloud9 a fair bit, but how have you been feeling about Fly and Energy? They're the other two teams at the top of the table. Obviously, Energy just super pounded Fly today. You know, like, they absolutely blasted them. But FlyQuest had been on a 3-game win streak. Yeah. Debatable how their strength of schedule was. This week was kind of supposed to be the test, as they had, you know, harder competition. One win, one pretty big loss.
Yeah, I guess I'll start with Energy, because one thing that I think is super helpful on these kind of like live patch type games is that trust you have in a team. Because like you were saying, when you're coming together, it's a new team for the first time. Like, do you really want to be the player who's like just picking some bullshit every game and like your teammates just like, oh, here we go again. I guess we just couldn't play like my jungler or my mid laner or whatever was just trolling. We didn't have one. So, like, you want to pick something to do right by your teammates, so at least you can build up some trust. I think having a more established team helps you with that. It's like, okay, I can pick this troll champ, and my teammates know I'm not the troll. It's the champ. So I think Energy's been doing like a pretty good job, like playing different styles. They've been playing like the Jace top. They've been playing like Ashe support. They've been playing, I think it was Rell today.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think they're doing a pretty good job branching out, trying different stuff.
Yeah. It super helps that Huhi, you know, the new quote unquote player into the team, not only does he have this super long history in the LCS, but played 206 games now with FBI. So there's a ton of trust that has been built up over the years, you know, on Golden Guardians, on 100 Thieves, going through so much together. And he specifically, when you are mentioning, all right, here we go again with your some troll picks. He's definitely a support player that has those in his roster, in his repertoire. You know, like the Nico support play from no. Worlds. That was a rough no. one.
I try to forget that yeah, one. Yeah.
he's got all kinds. You can go deep into the, you know, Amumu and set and that kind of stuff. But I'm very high on this team right now. Yeah. Because
Kyle Fox has been so good, I feel like.
He's been great. I think, what has he been? It's... Is it two or three Azir games?
Two Azirs, a Talia, a Corki. Okay. There's four different champions for FBI, four different champions for Huhi, four different champions for Contracts, three for Palafox, so he doubled up on the one Azir, and then Doka's done two Kassanta, two Jace.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Palafox kind of like almost looking MVP form so far. It's only week two. Don't want to jump to any conclusions, but he's been looking great pretty much every game.
Ship it.
Absolutely ship it. I do think partially that Azir is in the weirdest state right now for me in LCS. I think he is so crazy, like OP. Mm. If I was playing, I would cry to have him on my team or banned every game. But the fact that he goes through so often is kind of a question mark to me. I think not everyone's playing him correctly either. We see, like, I think everyone's getting really montage vision with Azir. They want to, like, go in and dive and go for the ults all the time when... Honestly, most of the time you don't need to do that. Like, you can just front play with your crazy range, your crazy DPS, just play him like an actual carry. So, yeah, I don't know. I think maybe he's not being played correctly, but, you know, I think Palafox and some others are playing him really well.
Yeah. I mean, it always is that fine line, right? If you're like too passive and maybe like then maybe you're not getting as much done as you could have, but if you're going in all the time and you're just killing yourself for a sweep, then it doesn't do anything either. Like Quid, I thought was having a really good game at times, but he had some of those moments where it's like, you could have just won the fight playing front to back. You didn't actually need to just like kill yourself to sweep someone in. Cause if you go in and you scoop in the AD carry, but then you instantly die too, it's like sometimes you're more valuable than the AD carry. In a lot of cases, the AD zero is actually more valuable than the AD carry, I feel like.
Oh, so completely.
It's like you don't need to actually go for that one for one trade type thing. I think that's kind of what you're talking about. But yeah, Energy has looked really good, has looked really flexible. They've been pretty fun to watch. And I think that, yeah, they lost that one game to Cloud9 to start off the season, but I feel like they are looking better than I expected this early in the split, right? With all the talk about, oh, they don't practice early. There's going to be, you know, this kind of like adjustment period to bring in Huhi and stuff. Things have looked pretty damn good, I think, pretty much right out the gate.
Yeah, definitely on board there. Which of the bottom 1 and 3 teams do you think is going to make the biggest moves?
Do you want to touch on FlyQuest first?
Sure.
skip them.
Sure.
We talked some about FlyQuest.
FlyQuest, I think we should touch on a little bit because they are one of those other 3-1 teams. They also have been pretty flexible. They only have one champion that they've repeated at all. Jensen did two Orianna games, so they've been trying a lot of different stuff. I guess you did talk about Busio in a little bit in your report. Have you guys been kind of impressed with Masu, or just like have you been feeling about him? Because there was a lot of hype for him coming into the split, but I feel like he's been pretty quiet.
Yeah, he seems okay to me. I don't know. I haven't been too blown away by his play. He doesn't seem bad. I think there have been a couple moments where maybe he seemed a little like, you know, green, maybe like playing more nervous than he could have. But I mean, he's looked solid. No complaints here.
Yeah, I guess there hasn't been any big moments to remember, but I think he's been good. Yeah, just kind of I mean, it's really hard coming off today because today was just bottom lane just got completely trashed and still wanted. I'm just like, well, that was this giant gaping hole in the bottom lane after the beginning. That was just really rough. So I'm trying to separate that and remember back to the earlier ones where in the first week, you know, they had some double support item ones. Seraphine was fine. Like, I'm never super duper impressed by Seraphines, but it was good.
Yeah, well, he played Senna with the Seraphine.
Oh, yeah, he said that paid the Senna.
He played Senna with Seraphine. He played Jhin, I think, into Immortals.
Yep, against Immortals.
And then he played Ezreal into Liquid's Lucian Nami. And he was kind of like gifted a free kill by Yon being a little over aggressive. So, I mean, I don't think he's had any like standout good or horrible performances today. I don't fault him for that much. It was just kind of like he was the victim of what happened. But collectively, the bot lane got destroyed. Like that was crazy. That was, you lose so bad, you create a vortex that sucks your entire team in with it. Like, your team can't even try to split the maps. Just like, bro, it's bad. Like, get down here. Like, everyone jump on my sinking ship. So, yeah, that was rough, but I mean, you know, happens.
Yeah, with the team overall, though, I just really like that, you know, Whippo has a lot of confidence. The rest of the team has a lot of confidence in their own play and in their teammates. And they're allowing him to, you know, pick these top lane counter picks that he wants to shine with. I will also say Inspired's interview was pretty interesting to me because he went with the line where he said, you know, he wants to improve on his own communication because sometimes he tells his team what to do and they don't do exactly what he, you know, wanted them to do. And so then they end up like losing the play or misfiring or something. But he has such a clear way that he wants the game to go. And I do like that one. Like, you have a really driven, especially jungler, that wants to dictate, you know, especially the early game, and get this whole team on the same page. So I have a lot of confidence in the team overall.
All right, for the 1 and 3 teams, you're asking, you know, which team do I think could maybe make moves? I think probably we're all going to have a similar answer in Shopify. I think maybe, well, at least I was looking at them as like, okay, they seem better than their record. After the Immortals game, I maybe was starting to doubt that a little bit. I'm not going to lie, after they lost to Immortals yesterday. But I thought that they had really tough opponents. They were able to actually beat Cloud9. And then even just looking at strength of schedule for next week, they have Dignitas, which seems pretty beatable. Energy, obviously a big challenge. And then they have 100, who I think is also really beatable. So, I mean, I definitely think they could pick up 2 out of 3. If they beat Energy as well, then they're really ending the first round robin on a high. But I feel like they're the most likely to make a move. Immortals and Dig, you know, again, people are talking positively about some of the things they're doing in scrims and saying that they're actually like pretty strong teams. But they haven't been able to at least show it as consistently on stage.
Yeah, I think if you're going strength of schedule, they're the pick because Immortals has to play Cloud9 and
Energy.
And Energy, and then 100 Thieves, which has also been doing quite well.
You know, Dig has Fly, TL, and then Shopify.
Yeah, so.
When we say make a move, are we talking moving the standings or like a roster swap? Okay.
Oh.
I didn't know what you meant. It's like
I meant standings.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Where do you stand on the Turtle B-Boy thing then after this week? Oh. Because they both actually had pretty good.
I mean, that's tough to say because I'm not a huge fan of like swapping around players for fun. It seemed like they were intending on using B-Boy the whole time, but they just had visa issues. So I don't know. I think it makes sense to stay with your plan, even though, you know, I love Turtle. I think they should like not rotate players around so much.
They got the win, so.
Yeah, I don't think that helps too much. I mean, I think I would just have to agree. Shopify seems probably like the team with the most potential, but I still think it's going to be hard for them. You know, like all the competition's pretty tough. Could go either way. It just depends how good their read on the meta is because, again, like we're saying, I think there's still a lot of champs that's just not being played. I want to see more TF. One of the ones that I want to see as well, which I've asked a couple people about, is like Miss Fortune, because she is like the highest win rate AD carry on live patch, I think. Also crazy with lethality, but she hasn't really been getting played. So I think that could be maybe a little sleeper.
Yeah, I mean, she's in a really good spot with lethality. And I think lethality overall, especially for solo queue, is insane. Do you think that LCS teams, if you pick Miss Fortune, like they're for sure going to lock in 2 hard tanks, that are going to stack armor.
You need setup, I think. Or, oh, you mean on the opposing team.
Opposing team. That's what I think. If you, like, if you lock the Misfortune early, and then you have to play into some like armor stacking tanks, or does that even matter?
I don't think it matters.
And you're just gonna shoot over the top anyway.
No, you shoot through them, kill them all.
Yeah, just blast away.
I don't know. When I see her, she seems to do a lot of damage. So
as long as you have a high damage magic damage you're dealing mid laner anyway, I don't think it really matters, right? Yeah.
Like, as long as you have a Liandry's on your team somewhere, then
I just want to see it. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. I want to see it. It seems like something that should be played, and it's not. So I'm curious.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we already touched on TL a little bit. So, like, how about 100 Thieves? They're sitting at 2-2. Their only two losses, to be fair, are to C9 and Energy. So they are a team that potentially, you know, could climb up in the standings. But, you know, maybe they're going to lose all the top teams.
Yeah, I've been pleasantly surprised with this team. And that's why I kind of bumped them a little bit up in the preseason standings, because some teams were already telling me, oh, they've got more upside than some of the other bottom four teams that I was ranking. And so, you know, I bumped them up like one, you know, tier or something like that.
But Fly Immortals and Shopify next week.
Yeah. I feel like the league is actually so competitive, especially after
all the matchups
this week,
sound kind of hard.
Yeah. They're like, well, there's not really any freebies here. But it's been super nice because this is the team that has the youngest players, that has the players with the least cumulative LCS games between their players if you add them all up. And it's just been cool watching not only River, who we all expected to be the giant star of this team and is playing well, but some really big moments at times for Sniper, some really big moments from the bottom lane.
Dopla yesterday, I think it was, right?
Yeah, and people have just been turbos trash talking Quid ever since last year, and he's had some really big moments too, so it's cool.
Yeah, I think maybe having all those rookies with River could be really good for them, because, you know, something that happens to players is if you spend time, you know, on maybe like not great teams or have played with not great teammates, you can learn the wrong thing. And so I think that, like, if you're super fresh, being able to play with someone who understands the game really well, like River seems to. I've never played with them, so I can't speak directly to it, but it seems really good. It seems like they're picking up on what's going on pretty quickly. And so, yeah, maybe they could surprise everyone.
Cool. Well, I think that's about it. It's a bit of a quicker episode, but it was at the end of a long day. And we just recorded the last episode recently because that one got delayed. So
Seems like yesterday.
We're going to be back to our normal cadence here pretty soon. Maybe next week we could talk about all too early all pro and stuff, because we'll have finished the full first round robin. So
we'll
that should
also
be fun.
Get a little some early patch information too. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's pretty fun.
Yep. So that should be a lot of fun. But looking forward to it. Super Week going to be kicking off this coming Friday. Remember, it is on Friday. It's not just Saturday and Sunday. So Friday, February 2nd at 12 p.m. Pacific, it is Cloud9 versus Immortals. Also, if you're following us online, you can check us out on YouTube. Obviously, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode of Dive. You can also follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Anchor.fm. And send in your questions. We're going to try to draw some questions probably next week as well from Twitter using the hashtag TheDiveLOL. So hashtag TheDiveLOL, and we can find your questions there. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.